I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Voters in Iran had something of a day of reflection today after weeks of frantic campaigning by four candidates for president. Tomorrow, the voters go to the polls. Many see this election as a watershed. It's been three decades since the revolution that created Iran's Islamic Republic. Its mix of theocracy with aspects of democracy is unique in the world. But 30 years after the revolution, the political ground dominated by Iran's clerics appears to be shifting. The World's Laura Lynch reports from the holy city of Qom.
At one of the most revered shrines in Iran, men wash their feet and hands before moving off to pray. The women, all dressed in the head-to-toe black chador, move inside to the burial ground of Fatima, who died here in the 9th century. This woman comes here once a day for what she believes is the healing power of the shrine. In the city of Qom, such religious fervor isn't surprising. This is where the seeds of the 1979 Islamic Revolution were sown when Ayatollah Khomeini began lacing his sermons with attacks on the Shah's dictatorship. Expelled in 1964, Khomeini returned and founded the Islamic Republic. The men of religion were suddenly running a government, with Khomeini as the supreme leader. Political scientist Nasser Hadian says, looking back, no one really understood how it would all work.
At the beginning, once we had this Islamic government, we did not have the sophistication to engage in a debate which we got involved later on regarding the nature of a religious government. What does that really mean to having a religious government?
The debates are now in full flight, pitched to the forefront in this fierce election campaign. The Islamic Revolution isn't going away. The clerics are still very much in charge. The successor to Khomeini, Ayatollah Khamenei, is still the power center and backs President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in this election. But cleric Mohammad Faneh Ashkavari, who teaches at a huge seminary in Qom, admits governing hasn't always been easy.
Islamic State is not a state in our imagination. It's a state in real world. And real world is mixed with all these problems and difficulties.
That's probably never been truer than now. The last few weeks have shown Iranians to be divided on the future of their country and the way it's run. There have been no open calls to end theocracy, but some Iranians are testing the boundaries of Islamic rules.
I believe that majority of people don't have problem with principles. They have problem with, you know, their economic life, these kind of things, which doesn't have anything to do with principles. It depends the way that, you know, president and the cabinet or government run the country.
Two-thirds of Iran's 70 million people are under 25. These young people who've danced and sung at rallies over the last few weeks don't remember the revolution. And this supporter of presidential candidate Mir Hossein Mousavi is eager to assert her interpretation of Islam.
It's no different between a woman or a man. And he, in Islamic idea, I think, it's no different between a woman and a man.
At this rally, the women danced in the stands and on the field. Dancing in public is prohibited under Islamic law. Islamic scholar Ashkavari says the religious leaders have noticed but have determined this isn't dancing.
Any kind of jumping is not rejected in Islam. They express their happiness. The dance, which is, you know, as problem, is a different kind of dancing, you know.
Those kinds of interpretations of Islamic laws aren't surprising, according to Nasser Hadian. He believes the country's religious leaders have made a choice, dilute Islam for the sake of the republic.
To me, at the end of the day, these are all pragmatic decisions that almost always would be made based on serving the interests of those who would rule rather than principles.
The Iranian government still isn't a soft touch by any means. A council made up mostly of clerics banned hundreds of people from running for president, choosing only those it felt had the right Islamic credentials. Critics are often jailed, newspapers shut down. But over time, some freedoms have grown. The strict rules of the Islamic dress code are more relaxed. Young couples freely hold hands in public. And of course, there's been the outburst of public demonstrations during the campaign. Hadian has a bold prediction about where it will all lead.
It has been happening all along. It has been intensified in the last few couple of weeks. After the election, it's going to be less intense. But that's a continuing process. I have no doubt in my mind that we are going to get to the point that the hijab or Islamic dress code is going to be a matter of choice.
That may not happen anytime soon, but it's the younger generation who are using these elections to push for change. They say they don't want a revolution themselves, but they do want to reform the system. And they're using this election to send their message to the Supreme Leader himself. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch in Tehran.
This, by the way, is one of the campaign songs Iranian voters have been listening to. The song supports opposition candidate Mir Hussein Mousavi. Now, the candidate himself hasn't endorsed it. Western-style music is officially banned from Iranian airwaves by the government. We've got a link at theworld.org.
مثل همیشه سبز تو انتخاب کنی تکسی رو که میگیره نفس مملکتمون رو دستش ما میدیم از سعیش ولی باید مطمئن بشی که قائل ارزش سه حرفاشو نمی کنه سال بعد نفسش رو کاملا من بشه اعتماد کنم ایران نشه دچار لفظش اینم بگم یه وقت نباشه بحثش یکی بارد شد و نبخش